Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Agrotech Foods Limited analyst call for the Q4 FY23 financial results hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers, I welcome you all to Q4 FY23 results conference call of Agrotech Foods Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. K.P.N. Srinivas, CFO of the company. We are going to start the call with opening remarks from the management and followed by the Q&A session. I shall request Mr. Sachin Gopal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ajay. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking out the time to be with us today. As usual, we'll walk you through the results, and then we'll do a Q&A between now and 3:00 P.M. I'm on the second page of the presentation that we've already, you'll find uploaded on our website, right? Which is just a summary title page. Going to page three, really just to repeat, what is our vision? Our vision is to be the best performing, most respected foods company in India, and we're definitely on track to be there. Going to page four, which really summarizes the quarter four FY and FY 2023 key performance highlights, kind of all in one. Overall, as a headline, I would say we've seen steady foods growth. It's been less than our average, right? For very, very clear reasons. Also we've seen improving margins as we've gone through the year, because as you know, the first two quarters are significantly impacted by a very high level of commodity prices. I think we've kind of navigated through all of that and still maintained our growth rate, and our year-ending margins are looking much better. The quarter four food revenues were about 103 crores. These were only 3% higher than prior year, and that really reflects the COVID-19 third wave, right? Omicron, which was there in January, February 2022, which again saw a lot of people, working from home, right? That's evident in our numbers also as we see it. January, February, the base was very high, and then March people started coming out, and then we also returned to growth, so in the ready-to-cook business. In the other parts of the business, it's been more or less a strong growth through, generating a total FY 2023 foods growth of about 9%. Both foods and staples showed moderate growth on a full year basis in gross margin. We delivered about a gross margin of about 97 crores in foods and about 77 crores in staples. Both of these were higher than last year, and given all that happened, I think during the year, it was good that we continued to have a single-minded focus on margin. It came at a cost of volume in the case of edible oils. I would say, you know, that was the right thing to do, and now we are in the process of making sure that we are more competitive in the marketplace. We have exited our foods gross contribution. This was, we shared some numbers with you in the last call, right, on gross contribution. Over time, we want to start reporting more of it, but many of you had said, "Hey, you know, you were basically giving us gross margins, so can you please go back to that?" We said, "Okay." Over the next few quarters, we'll try and give you a better indication of how is gross contribution going, because at the end of the day, that's the starting point for the P&L, right? Which is net sales, less raw materials, less packing material. We're at 46%. More or less it indicates a full recovery from our commodity spike that we saw in the first two quarters of this year, right? It's still, we have way to go. We need to be in the 48%-50% range, as we always said, and we'll be working towards that and get there at the appropriate time. In terms of the A&P spending, the foods A&P was about 5.3%. You see the total, which is up by about, I think, 3 crores versus prior year or thereabouts. As a percentage of the food business, the foods A&P is about 5.3%. This is lower than the desired range of 7%-8%, but nevertheless an acceptable level of investment, right? You know, as the margin improves, we will obviously be deploying even more greater funds behind advertising. The change in employee benefits. Our employee benefits today stand at about 7% of revenues, right? That really largely reflects headcount changes. Whatever the salary increases were more or less largely offset by the fact that performance incentive payouts were not there because obviously our profit was impacted for the year, and therefore that payout did not happen. So it offset the salary increases for the larger part of the company. In terms of other expenses, they were higher than prior year by 13 crores. Really, the largest chunk of this is restoration of travel and increase in freight. These are the two largest components. There are other charges as well, like manufacturing, processing charges, so on and so forth. But the restoration of travel is a big piece. We had cut down the travel during COVID, and you know it was necessary as well, both from a safety of our employees and particularly the field people, right? And it also helped to, you know, to shore up the bottom line. But that part is over now. We needed to be in the market, and we've restored most of the travel, which we felt we could do safely without risking people's lives as the year progressed and the world moved to normalcy. And profit before tax and profit after tax are 20.4 crore and 15.1 crore respectively, lower than prior year, largely due to the early part of the year when we saw commodity price, which is evident in the operating results for the quarter four. Okay, I'm going to skip page 5 and I'll go straight to page 6. So, ready-to-cook snacks, this is the largest part of our foods business, right? And you can see here a lot of ups and downs during the year. In general, volume lower. As we had told you also, you know, as COVID started, we said there is going to be an elevation in demand due to COVID, meaning we could see that happening. But clearly, it wasn't going to be at the same level once COVID ended, right? Because people would no longer be working from home, they'd go back outside. And I would say we've held the volume attrition in the ready-to-cook category at about 5% last year, and certainly it could have been more. We don't know. Different companies have, you know, reported different sets of numbers in the work-from-home space, right? But all those categories impacted by work-from-home positively during COVID and then negatively post-COVID, right? So I would say it's probably par for the course, and but now we should start to see growth in line with the prior year. We've always had a high single digit to 10% growth in this business, and we expect to be getting that there. Let's see. We cannot tell you exactly in which month that will happen, but that should happen because last year by about May, June, the world had started returning to more normalcy. April was still a little bit still elevated in terms of work from home. Elevated level of media investments, you saw that we spend more money than prior year, expansion of distribution, and effective use of the 15 rupees pack along with retail demos were, we believe, key to minimizing attrition. A lot of companies have tested, you know, pricing 12, 14. I would say, in general, they haven't worked. Any intermediate price points like 15, 20 are important from a long-term strategic perspective as well, because you need to build or reduce your dependence always on 10 rupees. 10 rupees is the greatest driver of acquisition of consumers, but we need to have a good program for non-10 rupees also. We believe that we are exiting FY23 in good shape to get back to the growth in FY24 with a normalized post-COVID-19 base. The seeding of snacking kits is underway. We have seen strong acceptance in select stores. You won't see these kits everywhere, but in the stores that we see, it has a very good offtake, and you know, a few consumers who've bought in and repeat purchases are there. But broad-based success is still pending, and that's typical of ready-to-cook. Nobody builds a ready-to-cook business or anything in a hurry. But we have to do a lot of work. We know what that work needs to be done, and that's similar to what we did in popcorn. But a lot of our energy right now has been going behind popcorn to ensure that, you know, it's the largest part of the business, it's the most profitable part, and therefore, how do we get it back to growth? So we will put more energy and a few more resources behind this going forward once we see the growth coming back nicely in popcorn. And a lot of pizza and pasta sauces started in FY23. Right, so that was page 6. I request you to go to page 7. That's the next category, which is ready-to-eat snacks. So you can see here very strong growth, you know, close to 40%. I've also been looking at different companies, you know, who have both internationally and locally who've been sharing their results. Overall, I think the 15 to 20% growth is what I see coming out for the ready-to-eat snacks business. I think ours a little more because RT Popcorn has done very well. So in every business, finally, you know, I think it tends to reflect the competitive advantage that you have and the right to win. We clearly have that in the popcorn business. So we have clear all India leadership today in the category. You can go anywhere in India and, you know, you will see as to ready-to-eat popcorn, right? So it's in good shape. Sweet snacks are also starting to gain momentum. This is very important from us from a margin improvement perspective because it lowers the cost of packaging and it also lowers the cost of freight. So, you know, Active Caramel Bliss, Duo Crunchies, and in fact, we exited sweet share of RT was up to 11% in quarter 4 FY23. right? And if you recall, I had mentioned to you, we were sub 5%, right? We were in low single digits some time ago. So as we've exited, this is not an average for the year. As we've exited at about 11. So we would hopefully, strive to exit somewhere between 15 and 20% next year. Then actually that would be perfect because it would lower our cost of goods. It would, and because, freight and packaging material will come down and therefore improve margin and also enable us to go deeper and deeper, right? We have today in effect a 6-plant network, and there will be some limitations to how many thousands of 500, 700 kilometers that we can go. So I would say this will be helpful from this very important also from our overall expansion perspective. The impact of greater scale in RT popcorn, increased share of sweet and greater overhead absorption has significantly enhanced the profitability of RT snacks. So I don't think we are 100% there, but pretty much we've made huge progress in the last 2 years, right? By moving stocks, by moving to a depot-based model to direct shipment from factory, by getting scale in ready-to-eat popcorn, and by increasing the share of sweet. And I would say this is something that used to worry us a lot, which is, at the end of the day, this is the conveyor belt of the company. This is what our entire distribution expansion model is based on. And without it, the expansion won't happen. And it should not have been, unprofitable for us. So gradually to take it to a position now where it is close to being profitable, I think is a very good thing, because long term it means that we can continue to drive, and we know that it's not that our investment by way of secondary freight or anything else is hurting the P&L. We will continue to drive both the scale of savory and the share of sweet going forward, and that's what we are doing right now as well. And we are also going to see what learnings we can leverage from RT popcorn and other RT snacks. Clearly, we had the most success in RT popcorn, but that's not the same success that we've had in, say, tortilla chips and extruded snacks. We'll see now that at least one part of the model is fixed. How do we apply this learning on the others so that each of these becomes robust businesses? Okay, I request you to now go to page number 8, which is spreads and dips. As you can see, we had a very, very strong volume growth of about 22-odd%, and value was less because this was due to the price reduction that we did on the larger packs, right? And then we certainly would have gained share on the larger packs. I would say overall, we've been really successfully able to defend our turf, and that's led by India's largest FMCG company and several DTC players, right? Going forward, I expect to see this moderate, right? We'll see how long India's largest FMCG company continues to invest, right? So we'll be going forward, continue to defend our base business. There are a few more actions that we need to execute, or we have started execution of on the smaller packs like the 350-gram pack. And so that, we are able to successfully replicate whatever we did on the large packs in the small packs, right? While enhancing future growth and profitability by the three actions that are mentioned in this slide. Why is this important? It's important because we've got this volume growth, significant volume growth. I would say must be higher than the category. We don't buy Nielsen, as you know. But it came at the cost of margin, right? So we need to now ensure that we fix the smaller packs part of the business and also improve margin. So we see this happening through three key actions, as I said earlier. One is accelerating trials through 10 rupees nano packs. Now, just to give you a perspective, there are many companies in India who make peanut butter and sell peanut butter, right? So there are a lot of companies who sell peanut butter. Everybody's in peanut butter, right? You saw HUL is there, Marico has introduced peanut butter, Dabur has introduced peanut butter, you name it, they're all there, right? But they don't make it, they buy it from others, right? And there are lots of people who make peanut butter. There are a large number of manufacturers in Gujarat, right? But there are very few people who make it and sell it. Right, and we've also seen historically that in each of the categories in which we play, the 10 rupee point is very important for category conversion, for consumer acquisition, right, irrespective of the category, right, because that's reflective of the purchasing power of the consumer in general. So we've seen that, for example, in Duo, right, in chocolates. We launched chocolates, it's a 10 rupee pack which gave us immediate conversion. In breakfast cereals, it's the 10 rupee packs. In Axe 2 instant popcorn, even today the 10 rupees is the largest, is the largest price point that we have. So this is important, and we believe that it's very difficult for somebody to compete in these 10 rupee nano packs unless they are manufacturing and selling, right? So going forward, we'll be focusing on these packs to expand distribution, and that should work well for us. If any of our competitors increase their spending on the category, we'll still benefit disproportionately from it, right? And we feel that it's there's a very low probability of any of our competitors actually coming in into this area, right? We have it because we are uniquely placed. We've got a decent scale in spreads in both in certainly in peanut butter, not as yet in chocolate spread, and therefore we have the manufacturing capabilities and we have the distribution, right, of a little under 500,000 stores. So we are doing so. This we feel will be a good intervention. You'll start to see this being rolled out in this quarter. We are addressing the consumer need for spreads as a source of protein. So we are working with gyms, so on and so forth. It's going to be a time-consuming piece, right? Because the whole area of protein is something that is a new area for us, but it is a very good area for us, and we need to work on it. So it will take time, but we'll get there. And lastly, we will work on enhancing revenue per kilo by focusing on sweet. So you see this pyramid on the right-hand side, where you see what we've given is the price per kilo, right? So base peanut butter sells at about 250 to 350 rupees a kilo. Sweet peanut butter sells at between 350 to 500 rupees a kilo, effective prices in the market. And chocolate spread sells at more than 500 rupees a kilo. So going forward, we're going to focus on sweet. So you'll see us putting more emphasis on sweet peanut butter, you know, things like we have variants like honey roll, so on and so forth, right? They'll give us a better revenue per kilo. They will also give us a better margin, right? And this is possible only because now we've got the base piece absolutely controlled and tight, okay? And then over a period of time, we see ourselves migrating towards spending more on chocolate spreads, which is even higher in terms of revenue per kilo, so that this will remain a good, profitable business for us with the right margin structures that we expect. We will also continue to seed the seeds business, and we'll be working on capturing new consumption occasions by addressing the need for spreads and dips on the go. So in a sense, we need to create new consumption occasions around spreads and dips. So one part is obviously, yes, you know, I buy a table spread and then I consume it unread. I buy a bottle, I take it home, right? And then I consume it. I may consume something else tomorrow for breakfast. But another very large area is for spreads on the go. Right. So to give an example, you must have seen a Nutella and GoPack. If you haven't, I would suggest just Google it. You'll understand. Of course, it's very expensive. Right. But if we are able to capture these new occasions, they will obviously increase total consumption for us, and it will be very profitable, consumption as well. So all of these actions designed to continue to ensure that we grow volume and revenue. Right. But going forward, of course, we expect volume and revenue to come closer, and if anything, maybe at some point in time, revenue will go ahead of volume, because this year, what data that you see, which is the plus 22 and plus 8, really reflects the price correction that we did in the back half or towards the end of the prior year. Okay, I'd request you now to go to page 9. So on breakfast cereals, obviously a very strong performance there. Expansion of center-filled cereals and rollout of value-added oats have ensured strong category growth, right? And I would say we continue to see this as we exit the year, strong momentum here. Center-filled cereals are really driven by distribution expansion and introduction of the cookie and creme variant. So we introduced the cookie and creme variant. If you look at that photo in the store, and I put that photo for a reason to explain what we are trying to do, you see there's a blue pack there. So that's the cookie and creme pack. Cookie and creme is relatively new to India. It's basically Oreo who has created the taste profile for cookie and creme. And this product is doing very well. Very well means very well. And I think it's entirely full credit to Oreo for creating that taste profile. But, you know, I guess we are there to take advantage of it. Kellogg had also launched a cookie and creme, if you would have noticed during the COVID period, but they withdrew it. But, you know, I guess the product was not able to match the standards, but our product certainly is doing that. Right? We've also got a cheaper offering called Shells, what we call Shells, which is similar to Kellogg's Chocos. But the product, I think we had some challenges with the product earlier. It was a little hard. And we've done a reworking of that shelf product, which is being rolled out now. This will improve our bottom of the pyramid offering, right? So we will need to have some packs to enable multi-level wholesaling to ensure that we get fairly broad-scale indirect distribution, so that by the time we start advertising the Pops brand, it benefits both from the more premium products of the center-filled cereals, but it also benefits the bottom-end products. So the shelf products is being rolled out because of that. You'll see limited distribution. We don't sell a lot of it, but as we rework it, you'll probably see it. Although you may not see it in the more affluent areas like where you guys live, because it will be a little more down market and in less affluent areas. Okay. One of the things that has challenged us in center-filled cereals has been this huge wall that Kellogg has, right? So if you walk into any store in the breakfast cereal category, you'll see this huge wall of Kellogg, right? And you would see maybe one packet of Pops there, you know, one resealable bag or two, and we're not really making an impact. Because, you know, they are the category leaders, right? In contrast, when you go into the small stores, we are out-distribute Kellogg by a mile. By a mile means by a mile. We are by far the widest distributor centerfield cereals, right? And we are saying that on the basis of all our market working. More than anybody, whether it is Kellogg, Whole Foods, nobody. We are clearly the most widely distributed centerfield cereal. Our mathematics, however, with Kellogg's showed on the basis of, you know, interviews, meeting the distributors, so on and so forth, that the total revenue that they were generating from centerfield cereals was three times our amount. Right? So that means clearly we were losing out in the big stores, which is evident to us when we go to the market as well. So it is not possible, we have seen, to really break their wall, right? And in general, we've noticed this in most categories. Going in just by saying, oh, by the way, I'm here and, you know, I'm better value or something like that, doesn't motivate the consumer to come to you, right? By and large, in the FMCG business, consumers stay with the brand unless the brand gives them a reason to be dissatisfied, either in terms of quality or in terms of price. So what we finally cracked down, and this is doing very well, is we're building our own walls. It's next to the Kellogg wall, but we're building our own wall. And this, what you see in the photo, is an example of that, right? So, you know, we'll take it step by step because it requires investment. We have to, you know, spend money on the store, right? And but this is something which is, we've already started in this first quarter, and it's there in a limited number of stores across the country. We'll be expanding this during quarter one, and then quarter two we'll probably move to investing behind chocolates, and then we'll figure out how to manage the balance of the year. But this is giving very good results. Again, the hero is 10 rupees here, right? That our 10 rupees breakfast cereals are picked up by consumers, and we think that therefore it's an effective way forward. And now it will only be a function of resources. We believe that we have the answer on what to do with the Kellogg wall, right? And the answer is build your own ATFL wall in the cereals category. It benefits not only Pops, which is the largest part of it, but it also benefits other things like granola, muesli, so on and so forth. Of course, we don't have muesli, but we will have at a point in time. So it's work underway, but, you know, looking good and promising. Otherwise, you'd not have got this revenue growth. And continue to deliver strong volume growth to capture operating leverage benefits across the supply chain. Our capacity is significantly more, obviously, than whatever we are selling. And therefore, all we need to do is get more volume, and then, you know, all the other costs, depreciation, manufacturing, labor cost, resource costs, all of those come down. Okay. So looking good overall. Chocolates, I request you please to go to page 10 out of 19. I know there's a growth of 59 or 69% of volume and value, but that's really well below our expectations, right? Our expectation was that we would be able to more than offset the lower volume that we were going to see in RTC, right? And I think we certainly had faced significant supply chain issues in FY23. And this is common. If you go through the Hershey CEO North America statement, she also mentioned it some 1 or 2 quarters ago. You know, we've had supply chain issues. Most of the world buys a lot of machinery from Germany, right? And Germany's had a huge amount of challenges over the last year. It's not just gas. There's gas, there's labor, there's breakdown of some interim suppliers. They've had to change things. So we are, we as a consequence, we did have some delays in the receipt of our machinery. If you go back to our quarter one analyst call, you will see, we mentioned it there also. So I would say, going forward, we are, I think, almost there. We're probably 80% there in terms of whatever we needed to do from changes in recipe, manufacturing processes, all of that. All of those are pretty much closed now. And I would say by quarter two, maybe by the end of quarter one, we should be in good shape to, we should have overcome all of these and then start to be aggressive. We obviously are not going to be aggressive with chocolates in quarter one because, you know, quarter one sees high level of heat and also moisture in many locations, right? So heat and moisture are a lethal combination when it comes to chocolates. We need to manage the supply chain very, very carefully, right? And it's okay right up to our depot, but then beyond that, as it goes into retail, distributors, right, we need to manage it carefully. So, it's all looking good now. And we told you that we'll be building a capacity which can produce 100 crore plus of chocolates in a year. and we'll build that capacity in the current year, and we are on track to be able to do that now. Most of the answers to the problems and solutions that we found. Investment in Insta visibility will start in quarter 2 FY24 post the summer, again for the reason that I mentioned right now. It's a proven lever for growth acceleration. You know, it's in particularly in the chocolate category, there's a very impulse purchase item, and you know, trials happens very, very quickly. And we've had very good results in the stores that we tested in the month of January, and we will now be rolling this out in quarter 2. And the results are good. You know, if we take a look at the stores where we were able to you know, execute good display and have a reasonable presence in the store, our sale of chocolates in those stores is equal to the sale of our instant popcorn business, right? I mean, our ready to cook popcorn business. Now that's a big statement, right? That's a big statement, because if it can happen in that store, that means we have a right to win and the ability to build that business nationally, right? The question only is how quickly we can do it and how safely we can do it, right? Because chocolate, we need to be careful about product stability and product quality right through the supply chain, right? In reality here, haste can make waste. So we just need to be careful, but we certainly have a product which is good enough, as I said, to be equal to our ready-to-cook popcorn business. And that's not in one store, by the way. That would probably be, we would have tested this in maybe 100 stores across the country in January, or maybe a little more. So in all of those stores, it's already there. In some stores, like some modern trade stores, like we have in, say, Gurgaon, even without the extra display, we've already gotten up to 60% of instant popcorn levels. So those are big numbers, right? So the only thing is, how do we scale it up and, you know, to make a great business? So our assumptions of how much we can build from this business, we shared those with you in November. Those assumptions stand validated with the work that we've done in store, right? Now the only question is how to get there. And bear in mind, these revenues have come without advertising in these stores, right? The investment has been made largely in display. So that's a great statement, because the instant popcorn business has been built up over several years with a lot of advertising support. Of course, it's a very different business. It needs a lot of demos and other things, but that's the power of chocolates. So to close this page, capacity, productivity and automation work is underway. Capacity expansion, improvement of productivity and automation work is underway. And I think it's on track to be a significant contributor to growth in FY24. I request you now to go please to page 11. So on the premium staples business, we've talked about it. Margin successfully held in premium staples despite the Ukraine conflict. We had a gross margin of about 77 crores, up from 75 in FY22. Clear revenue risk, so that's in line. We always told you 70 crores plus minus 5 odd crores is the range that you can expect this business to develop, right? But it will entirely be, it will depend on timing and, you know, what is the opportunity available at that point in time. So I doubt very much that anybody sitting in the early part of the year would have said actually the edible oil margin is going to be higher than prior year. But it did, right? So, but it is going to fluctuate. And, but I think we are in the right ballpark. That's what we told you 2 years ago, 70 crores plus minus, and I think we are there. We see a clear revenue risk in FY24 in premium staples. We are correcting the pricing now. So, you know, as you correct pricing, you also lose revenue, right? Because revenue per kilo comes down or liter comes down. So you see, but also I think we expect to see that therefore as a consequence as we improve pricing, and we've seen this earlier, as you improve price competitiveness to marketplace, then the volume algorithm also changes. We are also making the portfolio more broad-based while providing procurement scale to foods. So rollout of oats is already underway, and you know that is it's a very steady build that is happening, and I would say it's going well for us. And we are also working on additional staples which are used in foods, which is under development. So in other words, we are looking and selecting staples, not in a meaningless manner. We are selecting staples where we are already buying those staples, but we don't have the procurement scale. So if it makes sense for us to, yes, say, okay, I think I'll get a significant procurement benefit. If I also had it, that staple under, which I'm buying for foods under staples, then we'll keep it, and it should also fit from a brand perspective. And mass staples reflects largely the exit from Crystal in FY22, nothing more than that. The rest of the business is doing fine. Okay, so I'll skip page 12 and I'll request you to go to page 13. So you can see snacks competitive spends, steady spend behind Active, which is designed to address the expected post-COVID-19 softening. If you see our spends over the last 3 years, they are equal to or more than the spends in the prior 4 odd years. So it's looking good. And I think we've done, therefore, whatever we needed to from a brand investments perspective, that, you know, whatever is the result of, therefore, mathematically of all the ready-to-cook changes or the lower consumption. It is not man-made or enhanced by any man-made actions in terms of our cutting advertising or something like that. Other than that, not a lot more to report. Frito-Lay is obviously up spending here, and you can, you know, the others really are self-explanatory, right? Okay. In spreads, page 14, please. So you can see we've had a steady spending behind, steady spend behind Sunrise spread. Over time, which is in the region of 5 to 6 crores we've been spending. Over time, we will, as we mentioned earlier, transition this towards more sweeter spreads. And as far as Kisan is concerned, they continue to spend money, so which is good. And, you know, even if they continue to spend money now, as we are able to expand our nano pack distribution, launch it and expand distribution, we will, that advertising will actually be a tailwind for us. So that'll be very, very good. Right? And the probability of their being able to introduce that, we believe, is very, very low. So that will be game changing, and we'll keep you posted about it. Right? Page 15, please. So breakfast cereals. Here you can see there's a significant spending behind the fills category. 30 crore plus, which is providing tailwinds for ADFL. And in fact, if you do a diagnosis of this chart, it's very interesting. It shows that actually the extruded part of this portfolio, which is Centerfeld and Kellogg's Chocos, the extruded cereals, has actually held their share of the total cereal category at about 25%. Right? The other part of the category, which is cornflakes, if you look at cornflakes, cornflakes has also been steady at about 25% of the category. What has changed, however, is the share of oats as a category of breakfast cereals has come down. Right? 4 years ago, if you see, it was almost 50% of the category. And now it's getting closer to the 25% mark. Right? And the share of muesli and granola has increased. And that's kind of what we've seen overall in the businesses, that if you introduce a staple and, you know, you spend advertising money behind it and you say, okay, it's a premium price and I'll make it work, it will give you some revenue in the near term. But what will happen is, as other competitors come in with oats offerings, and those oats offerings are very good value, then the profit pool that you have gets diluted. It gets compressed. So clearly, the entire action is between still in increasing, and therefore, if you can do the math, you guys are much smarter than we are, is going to be behind more value-added products. It could be cornflakes, it could be extruded cereal, and it could be granola and muesli. So maybe we'll drop in some pie charts in the future just for you to see how it's moving, and that will give you an indicator of, you know, which one of these subcategories are we investing in the right subcategories or not. Okay. The next chart is chocolates, and you know, you can really see the power of this chocolate category. It's incredible, right? You can see that the spends last year were in the region of 1500 crores, and if you go back to FY18, you can see that the spends are 650 crores. So that means in a 5-year period, the spends are more than doubled. And that's really reflective of the profit pool of the category, right? If you look at the gross contribution of Mondelez, it's an unlisted company, it will cost you only 100 rupees to pull it out. Look at it, it's in the region of about 60%, right? We're at 46, and you know, saying we'll get to 48 to 50, Mondelez 60%. Now, granted that they've been here for so many years, right? But the fact is that those are the kind of contributions that it is possible to make in the category. And these are the categories for us of the future. This is where we really need to invest our time and money, right? Not in commodity type of categories. Right? And in fact, if you go to page 17, you'll see this reinforces what we've always told you about edible oils. You can see edible oils last year spent 207 crores, right? You can see that figure of 2074 million. Right? And you compare it to the same FY18 that you saw in chocolates in the last slide, it was 356 crores. Right? So the spending, now the 356 was an aberration because the prior year less was, and the subsequent year was less. But conceptually, even if you aggregate it out, there's no change, right? So in a 5-year period, you're not really seeing any change in the spending, whereas in chocolates, it's gone up by double. And that's reflective of the profit pool of the category, right? So that's why we said we want to become the best performing, most respected foods company in India. And to do that, we had to transition from being an edible oils company to a foods company. Right? That's very important, right? And obviously, you know, we have to keep up the base of edible oils for as long as we could, which I think we have, and, you know, keep up the margins. But that is why it's so important for us as a company to have a greater share of foods, and within foods, be focusing on all the right categories. Because if we focus on the right categories, on the wrong categories, our chance of success in the long term is always going to be poor. It's always going to. But if we focus our energy and select the right categories with the right margin profile, then we will always be guaranteed short-term success. Okay? So just an interesting perspective. I'm sure you guys can analyze this data a lot better than I can. And really, that brings me almost to the second last slide of the presentation. So that's really an update, FY23 update on our ATFL growth trajectory. You can see we started in FY08 with a 36 crore food business, right? That is when edible oils is the largest part of our business. And you can see growth rates have gone up and down during this period. There were years of 35%, 60%, then followed by years of -11%, then 35% again, then 5%, then 18%, then 8%, 10%, 8%, 0%, sorry, right? 15%, and then 35%, 15%, and now last year 9%. So growth rates have varied on a year-over-year. Growth rates will vary. There is no question in our mind. And there will be some years where we'll outperform the 20%, some years where it'll be a little less, right? But overall, if you look at the trajectory, it's great because we built up the business from 36 odd crores to about 437 crores. And you don't need to be a genius if you look at this graph to know where it's going, right? It's going into a very, very good place. So thank you for your support over the years for all of this, right? And I'll go now to page 19. Therefore, summary, I think we've largely navigated commodity inflation without derailing our volume trajectory in foods. The growth is moderate, no doubt, but there is a very good reason coming out of COVID, and that's okay. This is monthly trend. We are now overcoming, I think, the base impact of COVID-19 on RTC volume. Even if I look at the last quarter, Jan-Feb was really down because Jan-Feb last year was up almost 20% over prior year, and that was up on a very, very big base. So as people are coming, as schools have reopened now, I think school reopening took place around July last year, and work from home kind of started to end between April and August or September, depending on the nature of the company. So probably through quarter one, by quarter one, quarter two, I think we should start to see the return to growth. And that will get us back up to that 15%-20% growth rate that we've always had, or what is our cumulative average growth rate of. And it was 19%, maybe it's down to 18% this year because last year was 10%. But that's okay. Staples margin is stable despite the impact of the Ukraine war, significant cost in terms of volume, together with lower exit NPS per kilo or revenue risk, but we're working underway to address this risk. Foods gross contribution recovered to pre-COVID levels. And a diverse food portfolio clearly helping to ensure a steady, sustained growth and profitable growth. Clearly, if we didn't have a diverse food portfolio, then if we had only a ready-to-cook business today, that would have gone down by 5%. So that's the... that's the benefit of a diversity. In many ways, it helps. So that's it. So Ajay, thank you very much. And we are open to questions now. So go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Soham Samanta from Centrum Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Sachin. Good afternoon. This is Shirish.
Yeah,
thanks for this. So just two questions. When you look at the slide where you have given the ATFL growth trajectory in terms of food, now we are 437 crore. The growth is very, very volatile, and there are many reasons, and we do understand capacity addition has taken a little slower pace. But now you have a larger capacity which is in your hand. How do you see next 3 to 5 years growth in terms of food? And the second question is that, though we have seen the volatility into the revenue, also has the volatility into the margin. So in a steady state now, food is stabilized. So what kind of margin expectation we should be building in next 3 to 5 years?
Okay, thank you. So, both of the questions really, Shirish, thank you, are sort of forward-looking. And as you know, we are not going to be able to give you any forward-looking projections, but I can provide context for that, right? So hopefully that should do the job. So if you look at it, see, the growth trajectory has, I would say, rarely been limited by capacity, okay? Capacity is not really, I don't think it's been an issue. And even during COVID, in the first wave of COVID, right, where everybody scrambled and we scrambled too, and hopefully we scrambled well, I don't think we lost much sale in that period. right? Because, you know, we were able to scale up. We've always had adequate capacity, I would say, at any point in time. Last year is probably the one thing that, you know, I called out in the chocolate business, where, you know, we were on the back foot, right? Trying to balance supply and demand and to produce the right quality products. But overall capacity, I think we've always been planning adequately for. The variations in growth over this 15-year period, and you can see, it always does, it goes up and down, would be many factors. For example, in 1 year in the past, we had a large vending business, if you recall, in our popcorn business, right? That was about 25-30 crores. And, you know, that kind of went out, right? Because our largest customer decided to procure from outside. And that's always a issue in the institutional business, which is why we didn't build back that business later in a conscious manner, which is why should we risk any institutional business and impact on our revenue. Similarly, in one of the earlier years, I think where you see zero growth, you will see we had actually put a lot of focus on distribution and stock pressure in the trade. And then that stock pressure resulted in inventory, and that inventory resulted in lower shipments in the prior year, resulting in zero growth. And the same is explained also with the high growth months, right? So if you see the high growth months, right, we drove in the past distribution very aggressively or stock presence very aggressively. In the 2 years ago, a lot of the high growth was driven by COVID. Right now, we are managing a slightly lower growth due to the fact that the base is of COVID, right? So I would say it's not really capacity. It is just that's the macro factors, or whatever are the factors specific to either the category, our customers, or things that we may have done along the way, right? In terms of, you know, maybe we pushed harder than we could. Because foods is very different from personal care. Huh? Personal care, you have very long shelf. I mean, there's no real issue on shelf life, right? So, you know, you can do it. In foods, if you push too much, you know, then you can pay the price for it the following year, right? And so you have to be just very careful. You have to supply to demand, and that's kind of more or less what we've largely done during the past many years. Okay. As far as volatility in margins is concerned, actually, gross contribution level, by and large, in the food business has been in that 46-47% range, I would say. The only difference is that it depends on operating leverage, right? So in the period where, let's say, coming out of seasonality, you have lower volume, then automatically the gross margin that you deliver will be lower, right? To put it into context, I would say historically, and let's take before COVID as an example, we would always have been on the total food business a gross margin of about 26-27%. Okay, and right now it is lower than that. Largely, obviously, there was a quarter one impact, and as we are coming out of it, since RTC has not grown, right, and the other parts of the business has grown, that has diluted that margin. But as RTC comes back and that starts to grow, and, you know, overall volumes grow plus the RTC part grows, I would say we should be getting back to that 26-27% very, very fast. Okay? Going forward, I would say on margins, look, it is going to come through operating leverage, 100%. It is going to come. There will be some improvement in GC, right? And that will be driven by pricing and maybe more procurements in scale, procurement efficiencies due to scale, right? And even lower wastages in the plant in our bill of materials. But a lot of it will come through, most of it has to come through operating leverage. And that operating leverage is there across the supply chain. It's there in manufacturing, it will be there in transportation, all the transportation is there. And even in terms of distributors, right? Because we do, we do invest behind distributors to support the expansion of distribution. As you get more scale, that comes up, right? So I would say that's pretty much it here. Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Shirish. Thanks for your questions, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day, man. Cheers.
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bimal Sampath, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. How are you? Yes, yeah. Yes. I'm right here. Yep.
Hello, can you hear me now? Yeah.
Yeah, yes. We can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So about 3-4 quarters ago, there was a lot of talk about new products like soups, cocoa, and now what we are seeing, and even this hummus and things like that we have scaled down? I mean, is there a change in strategy? I mean, what is, I mean, I'm not able to understand. I mean, are we going to focus on those products? Because soup is a very good category. So I just want to understand. I mean, is there a change of strategy?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ambu. What else? Anything else?
Second question is CapEx is mostly on chocolate. We have about 26 crores now, work in progress, WIP. So is it only on chocolates or other products also are included?
Okay, thank you.
Third question is, see, I mean, we are spending on in-store advertisement. Same way, if we have an institutional division, our products, you know, like our peanut butter and all can be placed in five-star hotels, the breakfast spreads what they have. If we sacrifice margin there and we put it there, it's a kind of advertisement. You know, just as in-store you are having demos, this will be a kind of in-store demo. And we need not spend on advertising. This will be an advertisement in one way. Have you looked at that? These are the three questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ambu. Yeah. So on the first point, which is no, nothing has changed as far as our new product development is concerned, and whether it's cocoa products or soups, as you correctly said. In fact, I dropped some of those spend charts on the other categories because I think we are still tracking them and we review them internally. But for the sake of brevity for this group, since they are not in those categories right now, all right, so there's no change in strategy. It's just that we need to balance in each of our categories that we are competing in the rate of introduction of new products, right? So right now in the ready-to-cook popcorn business, our single ready-to-cook segment of the business, our single greatest focus has been getting the RTC business back to growth, right? In fact, we've even compromised when, you know, we would have made some changes. Let's say the people who were doing demos of pasta, we asked them to, you know, get back to popcorn. So because that is the core of the business. We need that to be growing at that 8-10% for our algorithm of 20-odd% to work, right? So not less than that. So that is why you see it. And I think as we return to growth on ready-to-cook popcorn, you will see more focus behind that, right? Meanwhile, the development work of all of these, of plant meats that we've talked about, all that development work is underway. Many products are actually completed, but right now being held in abeyance. Abeyance, I'm sorry for the pronunciation. Because we need to ensure that we don't overload the entire selling system, given the fact that this part of the business, which is 50% or thereabouts of our foods business, is, you know, we need to get it back to growth, okay? So no change in that. But yes, timing. We have to moderate our timing to be successful, okay? Your point on CapEx is 100% correct. Most of this is on chocolates only, right? There is very little CapEx investments per se that we are doing in machinery outside of chocolates. Obviously, there's some, but the bulk of this is chocolates. And that is designed in to, you know, to build up that capacity that we talked to you about, 100-odd crores of chocolate revenues. And last is institutions. Yes, we have done institutions that, you know, that's not a, you know, that's not a, there's no right or wrong in this business. It's just that, you know, with the energies that we have and the field organization and the organization that we deploy with the SG&A that we try to run it, we have to be selective of where we need to focus, right? So we, for example, don't really, we had a vending business, the institutional business for popcorn, as I mentioned earlier to Shirish's question. But then we didn't. We said, okay, it's better for us to spend our money on retailing. Remember, if you look at our wage cost, all right, we are running at about 7% of sales, okay? Right? That's the number. If you look at that 62-odd crores, we're running at about 7% of sales. Now, that is kind of not very high for a foods business, right? For a company, for any foods business. Of course, you can argue that we have 50% or a little less than that of our business is staples, and staples business or commodity-type businesses, even in foods, will run with lower wage costs. But either way, the wage cost is not high. It's comparable to many companies who are, you know, privately owned, and there are a lot of unlisted companies, and we can share those details with you. You know, if you want, you can, or rather, you can just pick them up from MC, as I said, at 100 rupees a shot. So within that, we have to make choices. And the institutional business, yes, it does provide trial. Yes, it can provide visibility. For example, you could say, oh, by the way, now let me get listed in IRCTC, so on and so forth. And, you know, there are people who do that. But our core is building a nice, strong, resilient retail business. That's the core. That's what, you know, we have to, and that's what great brands are built around, right? So, our focus will be there. If there are opportunities, we'll certainly take them, right? But we are not going to be investing too much of resources behind it, right? It'll have to be very, very, because we understand that finally in these businesses, you are replaceable, you know? It's like the food service business has really grown this year, right? But the fact is, you are replaceable because the person who owns the customer can decide whether he wants to give your ketchup or your mayonnaise or your mustard sauce as compared to others, right? Or peanut butter or whatever. So just, you know, food for thought, we can chat more about it. But thank you, Mr. Sampath. Good question. Thank you, sir. Okay, Ajay, I think we've got time for one more question now or two, I don't know.
Sure. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Kumar from Bestpals Research and Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sachinji. I think you have mentioned briefly about these categories, but like ready-to-cook popcorn is already 200 crore, and that has been like, because it being the largest, so that category's growth determine the overall growth. So when do you think you will be able to build chocolates and spreads as another greater than 100 crore categories or whatever is in your the company's plan? And when do you think then this each category, one pulling down, one going up, these kind of things are more like we have at least one, two, three pillars instead of one big pillar, ready-to-cook popcorn. So if not these two, then maybe some other categories which you may be thinking of. So that was my question.
Okay. Thank you, Vivek. That's a very, very important question. See, I think the next two categories which will reach 100 crore are ready-to-eat snacks and spreads, right?
Sure.
Both of these, yeah, both of these are, I would say, you know, our expectation would be that they should either nearly touch or cross the 100 crore mark in FY 2024. And the, you know, that places whatever are the growth rates that we have today and the size of these businesses last year. Chocolate is an incredible opportunity, but, and you know, it will certainly overtake all these other businesses. It will overtake all the other businesses, meaning if we manage it right, it's possible that chocolate could be our largest category, I would say, in about five to seven years. It's possible, okay? Because as I shared the data with you, already in so many stores, in the stores where we are investing in display, the sale is equal to popcorn, right? So that means the potential of the category is there. And it's not a talking about category potential in a broad macro term. It's saying that these products which our company is selling are proven to generate a revenue equal to instant popcorn or ready-to-cook popcorn, both microwave and instant popcorn, in these stores. That's a data point. That's irrefutable, right? So now the question is, what will be the glide path to that, right? We also have a reasonable idea of what are our gross contribution on these products because we are making them now. We know what is our revenue, what is our raw material, what's happening. So we need to figure out the business model, right? You know, how are we going to actually get there, right? But I've said maybe 3 years ago, I said, you know, this is going to be the category of the future, and it will be. So for, I would say, to the first question on 100 crore, well, the 200 crore categories in the near term, right, we would expect now would be spreads, would be ready-to-eat snacks and spreads. And over the medium to long term, the bigger play will be chocolates. And that's why we are making those investments that we are making. Okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devdutt Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I was just wondering when we are trying a new product and testing the waters when it is in the traction phase of understanding how well it is being received by the consumers, at what point do we decide to kind of say that, you know, let us stop putting in any efforts or resources into this new product? This is probably not working. Can you give any, you know, color on that?
Okay. Anything else, Devdutt?
I have, yeah, one more. This is, I'm just wondering with regards to RTC, RTE, and chocolates, already big enough markets in terms of its potential, why would we not choose to only focus on those three And you know, as an extension of that question, is it really worth competing in the spreads and the cereals category?
Okay. All right. So I think the first question is a very sort of deep one, which is, you know, when do you give up and say, you know, this is not going to work? And the answer is, I don't think we do. So, you know, we believe that, you know, nothing is really impossible unless there's enough data to clearly substantiate that it is impossible, right? And the whole part of building a business from scratch, as we've done on this food business, right, as you see, it was about 35 odd crores, is that these are challenges we faced through the years. So I can remember a time when the ready-to-eat popcorn business was 5 tons a month, right? You know, we were selling 50 tons a year. Today we sell it in thousands of tons, right? Okay. So, and there was no way out. So you are confronted with those businesses every, with those challenges every day. If you said, I will give up, you will probably give up on 95% of the stuff. Because nothing happens. Every time you go out, you face a problem, you solve it, then again a new one will come up. And that's a part of ongoing business development, right? Especially if you are building a business from scratch. If you inherit a legacy business, somebody else was doing the business, you came in, you know, you said, okay, now can I grow it by 8, 10%, whatever. That's a different story. But if you want to build businesses from scratch, it requires a tremendous amount of tenacity. So one of the reasons, and I'll share with you a thought which will prove this point, and you know, you can double check it later. If you see, most food companies, big food companies in the US, don't rely so much on organic growth as they rely on acquisitions, right? And the reason for that is that this task of, you know, in the food business, you have machinery and you have recipes. Now the machinery can work with the recipe may not work with that type of machinery, then you need to modify the recipe, then you need to go back, then you need to see what is going to make it efficiently, right? This process is an ongoing process. So for large corporations, it's very difficult to manage this. An entrepreneur does it because an entrepreneur is everything, right? He or she is doing manufacturing, R&D, selling, everything else. So the end result, therefore, is entrepreneurs typically build businesses in North America and then they sell them to larger companies, right? Because larger companies have the balance sheet to be able to make that acquisition. But this trial and error and ongoing brain chew, if you will, that is required, that they don't have because they are bifurcated by functional silos, right? So we rarely give up. Even if we give up today, we may revisit that same thing 5 or 7 years later. Okay, right? So nothing is actually ever given up as such. We will initiate, we will test, then it may go into a little back burner. So, for example, chocolate spread is a good example. We initiated, we got some share, got some mileage, but we said, no, now we need to review the recipe, we need to modify the fats that are there. Now there will be some other things that we're going to do starting this quarter. So these processes are ongoing. Okay, it's all problem solving at the end of the day, right? So you can't. Okay, management finally has to, it's paid for problem solving. You're paid, and otherwise you'll never have a shot at building businesses from scratch. That's not possible. Okay, and on RTCM, why each category will, you know, has its own benefit, and these 5 categories we've chosen because we believe these will be fast growing 5 food categories in the future. Or, you know, going forward. Honestly, they not only produce results on their own, but the learnings across categories are incredible. They are just incredible. One of the reasons they are able to get share in breakfast cereals without spending a dollar in advertising is because they have an RTE snacks business. So we already have a bag snacks, if you will, supply chain which is set up nationally, and then, you know, we have a competitive advantage versus anybody. Right? There'll be a few more other products that we roll out this year, which will really demonstrate the cross-pollinization of technological advantage that comes from being in multiple categories. It is an incredible benefit. So being in a single category is not a great way to build growth for many reasons. It's not great for your distributor because he doesn't get the revenue from the beats that he's covering. It's not good for you as a company because you don't get the scale, right? And you don't get this network effect that you get when you compete in many categories. So we've not chosen categories which we believe though we don't have a future. Or let's say we're doing a plain oats business, right? And you know, about 75% of the market is play notes. More than 75-80% of the total market must be play notes, right? And we have said this is not a business, this is not a foods business for us. It's a staples business. But it will never have in the long term a decent margin. It cannot have, right? It's a single commodity. So we put it under staples. So we told you why we are doing it and what the businesses of choice where we believe we can have a profitable business, like we showed you chocolates. Advertising spend has doubled between FY18 and 23. And advertising on edible oils has gone by half over the same period. Okay, now you may choose some other year as a base or whatever, but the story is explained, right? You have to choose great categories, right? And the categories that we compete in are all categories with high GC, very high GC. For a company like even Kellogg's, I don't think they'll be operating at less than 55-60% gross contribution. They haven't done their last year's filing, so I don't have the figures. But, you know, these are the best playing grounds for all of us so that we can take share and we can get volume growth and it can be profitable for us. Okay? All right.
I understand. Yeah.
Sorry, that's it. That's it. I don't mind. I can hear, but I won't be able to answer your question. So why don't we keep it for next time? Yeah. Huh? Okay? All right? No hard feelings? No hard feelings? Still love you? Okay? So, all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Ajay. Thank you for the call, guys. Dominic, and you know, take care. You guys have a great day and a good quarter.
Thank you, Ajay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.